Welcome to the Retro Rewind Podcast, Episode 1.
Retro Rewind systems initialized. Mission identified, Superman 3. 1983. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
And welcome to the Retro Rewind.
You broke me.
Wow. What a way to start our inaugural episode.
Can we do that
again? No, we're totally keeping that. Welcome, everyone. This is the podcast, though you wouldn't know it, where we look at movies and games from 15 or more years ago and if they are still worth experiencing today. And also, we laugh a lot, which is great. My name is Francisco Ruiz, and I'm joined, as will be the norm, by my good friend Paul Powers. How are you doing today, Paul?
Oh, I'm supposed to talk more now?
Well, just how you're doing.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I was talking over you. I'm doing well. Ready to get this show on the road.
Awesome.
Or going somewhere.
Well, it's on the internet roads. Internet superhighway. And our guest host in the guest host chair this time around is my lovely wife, Christy Ruiz. How's today treating you, Christy?
Great. I was the one that was falling out of the chair laughing.
Yes, that was quite awesome to see.
Too bad nobody else does.
Well,
my loud explanation during the intro
forever
melded into everyone's brain.
Thank you for explaining what that was so people aren't like, what's going on? Anyways, let's go ahead and dive into the show. Paul, would you go ahead and tell us what we're covering in today's episode?
What is going on? We're going to have our new tube segment, which is new, because everything's new. And as you heard in the intro, we're going to be doing a roundtable on movies, games, whatever you want to, whatever we want to talk about.
Well, just Superman 3 in particular this time around.
All right, that sounds good. And we'll give you our final verdict on whether we think you should watch it or not, and wrap up the show with some announcements, and we're going to throw in some feedback once we get any.
Awesome. Sounds good. You know what? With that, let's go ahead and get into our new tube segment.
New tube systems engaged.
So as Paul alluded to, our new tube segment is where each of us shares something new that we've been watching or playing, if it's a video game, because we want you guys to get to know us, not just what we watched in the past, but what we're watching now, so that you can just get to know us better. Let's go ahead and start with Christy. What new things are on your tube? That was a very awkward way of saying that.
Yeah, it can be distracting when your co-host is dancing in the background.
What else am I supposed to do?
Yes, exactly. That is my question always. Well, my new tube segment is very feminine in nature, unless you're a guy who likes to wear makeup. I've been watching a lot of YouTube tutorials by a gal named Emily Noel, I think is her YouTube name. She also goes under the name of Beauty Broadcast. Her blog is beautybroadcast.net, and she does really good tutorials, lots and lots and lots of reviews on high-end and drugstore type makeup, and it's just really simple, easy to understand, and you don't have to go out and spend a couple $100 on your makeup, Next.
is that part of it?
No, that was my tongue tripping over my teeth.
Oh, okay.
Man, don't watch those videos. It'll make you do that. No, wait, we're supposed to be I guess we're supposed to be promoting? Is that what we're doing? Not demoting.
If it's something that you've watched recently that you hated, definitely demote it, but
oh wow. Okay. You know what I really hate?
Yeah, well, you know what? Take it away, Paul. Let's switch it over to you.
Oh, no. Actually, I was over at a friend's house a couple nights ago, and I was playing the new Wii U.
Really? That? I have not played it. I've seen it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I don't have a Wii U. But I'm one of those gamers. Usually gamers fall into a couple different categories. There's the first person shoot 'em up kind, always yelling through your headset kind. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those. I'm one of those sissy Mario gamers.
Nothing sissy about that.
That's better than like my wife is she likes like the Pac-Man and the Solitaire, those kind of games.
Ah, gotcha. Yes.
Fine. But I'm one of those Mario gamers, and oh my goodness. We were playing the new Super Mario U,
mm-hmm.
with the controller is
like a tablet.
Yes, and you can play on the tablet or the TV, mm-hmm. or both, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I've heard
if you're into the Mario games, this is definitely a boost.
Very cool. And, I've heard mixed things about it, but that's awesome to hear that it was so much fun to play.
I've heard a couple people really weren't into it. I don't know why. What the reasons were? Have you?
I think just that some of the reasons would be that you can't like take it with you anywhere to play. Well, yeah, it has to be in a certain range of the actual console.
Right. Right, but one of the nice things about it's not portable like the 3DS or something like that, but there is talk about combining the two.
Oh, really?
Which is really cool.
Interesting.
But one of the cool things is if one person is, if you only have one TV in the house, like I guess some people do these days.
We actually only have one TV.
Yeah, one person could be watching the TV, movie, whatever, and you, even though you have the Wii U there, yeah. you can still play without bothering them.
Nice.
You know? So it's really cool.
Very cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. For me, I recently saw the movie Super 8. Have either of you seen that?
No.
Yes. That was like a year ago.
Yeah,
I'm out in theaters, right?
Yes, but it's new to me.
Okay, cool. Yeah. What'd you think? I'm very curious because this was originally a Steven Spielberg movie that he handed off to J.J. Abrams, which I really enjoy both their movies. So yeah. I'm curious to see what you think of it.
So I found it on Amazon Prime, and I thought it was actually really, really good. It wasn't as scary as I thought it might have been. And I really enjoyed seeing all the kid characters and their dynamics. It certainly reminded me of Goonies, and that was fun, just from a nostalgia point of view. I didn't care for how much they didn't cuss an extreme amount, but I don't care.
I think they cussed more in Goonies. Maybe not.
I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they didn't, because they definitely dropped the F-bomb in this. Not
oh, did they? I don't
not
remember
one
that,
of the but... kids, but sort of one of the. Teenage or college people.
Okay, yeah.
Anyways, but it was really enjoyable. I really liked it. I liked the overall style of it and thought it was good. Definitely a good movie to watch.
Christy, did you see it?
No, I was in Colorado.
Oh, okay. I saw it. I was disappointed because of all the hype behind it, because here you have J.J. Abrams and Steven Spielberg, and it's supposed to be like a Goonies movie, you know, with the kids and everything. I did enjoy the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The monster, I don't know.
I could barely see the monster. I was watching on my computer screen. Even with the lights out, I could barely make out what it was.
Well, and they did that on purpose to try to make it more scary.
Good job.
But I
he just wanted to get home, Paul.
No, he was eating people. I'm not sympathetic to people who are eating people. Just, hey, I'm just trying to, you know, survive. Well, yeah. That was my aunt, you know, Lily. Sorry. No soup for you. Get out.
Your aunt Lily ate people?
No.
Oh, was eaten by the monster.
Oh.
He's not sympathetic.
Oh, because he's trying to get home. Oh, okay. That makes it okay. Here, would you like me? Oh, come on.
All right. Well, with that, I think we'll go ahead and transition into our roundtable discussion of Superman 3.
Alert. Alert. Target located. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
Alexander Salkind presents Christopher Reeve and Richard Pryor.
Watch the trees.
As you've never seen them before. With more action, more twists,
You're going to go down in history as the man who killed Superman.
No.
And more fun.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Than Superman has ever had before. Superman 3, rated PG. Starts Friday, June 17th. Please check newspapers for a theater near you.
All right, Paul, why don't you tell us some of the technical details of the film?
All right, Superman 3 was rated PG. It has an hour, actually 2 hours and 5 minutes in the action-adventure comedy genre. It was released June 17th, 1983 in theaters. It was directed by Richard Lester.
And Richard Lester. I love him.
Yeah, what else did he do?
I have no idea.
Then why do you love him so much?
I was just being silly.
He says that all the time.
Okay.
I made a funny ha ha ha.
Sure you did. All right. Starred Christopher Reeve, Richard Pryor, Jackie Cooper, Mark McClure, Annette O'Toole, which was really cool.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Okay. The writers are David Newman and Leslie Newman. I guess they're married.
Huh.
Yes. The original music was by Ken Thorne, which is kind of weird. I don't know why they didn't get John Williams, who's so awesome. He did Superman. Why didn't he do 3?
Yeah, I mean, they used his original themes, I remember seeing in the credits, but I don't know why they didn't use him for number 3. Maybe he couldn't afford
him. Yeah, they did the same thing with him in the Harry Potter series.
Yeah. That's true.
And I...
were you done?
I was going to say, I heard he's just as expensive or inexpensive as all the other music writers. Like, it's not like, oh, I have to pay $1 million to hear John Williams, right? Do you know why they do that?
I don't know.
Do you, Christy?
I'm sorry, I don't have access to that information.
If you did, would you share?
I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to have access to that information.
I think knows something she doesn't want us to know. Yeah. But... would you tell us what the synopsis for the film is? Would you let us know that much?
Yes. After Superman the movies, epic storytelling, and Superman 2's awesome battles, how could the first two hits be topped? In Superman 3, meet Gus Gorman, a half-witted computer programming natural. For him, a keyboard is a weapon, and Superman faces the micro-electronic menace of his life. Christopher Reeve reprises his most beloved role, deepening his character's human side as Clark Kent reunites with an old flame at a Smallville high-class reunion. And when Superman becomes his own worst enemy after a kryptonite exposure, Reeve pulls off both roles with dazzling conviction. Incredible visual effects abound, but above all, it has heart, heroism, and high-flying humor, all in superabundance, of course.
So, Paul, were you dazzled? Let's start with you.
Oh, we're starting with me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Us, what do you remember about the movie before you rewatched it?
Okay. I loved this movie as a kid. I'm one of those that I liked all the Superman movies as a kid, except for maybe the fourth one. I didn't not like it. It's just that I would rather watch the other three instead.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So what I remember, first of all, is that this movie has the scene that you want to see in the Superman movies, that if it's at all possible. You have Clark Kent versus Superman, the good guy versus bad guy of Superman win. And, you know, good guy wins, so that's always a plus in my book. So that's one of the things that stands out in my mind. Did you want to talk about that, or should I go on to the next thing?
Yeah, go on to the next thing. I mean, that didn't really stand out to me.
Dude, so. That's the standout. Okay, fine.
That the good guy defeated the bad guy?
No, that Clark Kent fights Superman.
Oh, yes, that did stand out to me. Apparently, I wasn't paying attention.
Of course not. Why should you?
I don't know, because I should be. All right, yeah, let's go ahead and dive into that. That's kind of like deep end stuff, but yeah.
Well, you said the thing that stood out to me the most.
Okay, from what you remembered.
Yes.
So, well, how did that compare with when you rewatched it?
You know, some of the fighting moves aren't up to what they would be today, but it's still fun. But what I didn't realize is Christopher Reeve as an actor playing the mean bad guy versus the bumbling good guy. It's when you watch that scene, it's amazing to see that's the same person playing both. I mean, in his whole body language and everything. Totally. I thought he did a really fantastic job there.
Yeah, yeah. Christy, what did you think about that scene of seeing Superman sort of go fall from this like hero to essentially this teenage boy that wanted to kill spiders or burn ants or something? I don't know if teenagers do that.
Your
these
analogy
days.
Is really strange.
I was about to say, I don't remember him doing any of that.
He was burning ants with his eyes.
Or killing Spider-Man. Or
Phil Spider-Man.
Essentially becoming the worst of the Xbox Live crowd.
Cricket. Oh, wow.
You just alienated half our listening audience.
I said the worst of, not the Xbox Live crowd. The worst of them.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm supposed to talk about that certain part of the movie.
Yeah, just what did you think? Like Paul brought up the interest, how interesting it was to see the same actor play those two different personalities of the same character.
I didn't watch this movie until Saturday, so I don't have a fond love and remembrance of it from my childhood.
Sure.
I was confused. It felt like I was watching an anime for the first time.
Oh, really?
Like, is this, what's happening now? What's going on? Is he bad now? I mean, he suddenly has a 5 o'clock shadow and his suit is dirty. Does that mean he's bad? I don't understand.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now he's bad. And okay. And now he's fighting. Who is he fighting? I didn't understand. I tried really hard to stay connected with it and try to understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the creativity, I guess, of that scene. I thought that I couldn't understand who he was fighting. Like, I didn't know that Clark Kent was separated from evil Superman. And then, so Clark Kent is Superman, and it's evil Superman and Superman because he didn't die. So does that mean he's still Superman, but he's dressed like Clark Kent? Or because if he's Clark Kent and not Superman, then is he mortal? Or is he still immortal as Clark Kent?
Yes. Those are all very good questions.
Yeah, and do you have a response to that, Paul, or shall I?
Yeah, that's one of the things that, because I watched it with my wife, Valerie, and
Had she seen it before?
Yeah, but it had been years. Okay. And so when they separated and then the 5 o'clock shadow Superman hit Clark Kent, she asked, is he weak or is he as strong as him? And then Clark Kent responded, said, I can give as much as you, or I can take as much as you give.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is a line that most people kind of is like a throwaway line, but it actually, I think, reinforces that he is as strong as that person. So Clark Kent is as strong as Superman in there. It is really weird. It's like, is this a battle of the mind? Is this like an inner battle that he's having that he's just, you know, playing? It's what we visually see, or, you know, is this really happening? Or I guess it's really happening because he's destroying the junkyard and maybe he's just fighting with himself. I don't know. But
Here's sort of the idea that occurred to me. And I sort of went along those same lines of thinking. Is this just something that the movie, since it's a movie, that we don't want to see this sort of guy just sort of emote on his face everything that's happening in his mind. We actually want to see the inner battles of him fighting with his dark side. But I was thinking maybe it is just going on in his mind. He may still be throwing himself around the junkyard, just like, you know, in Fight Club. Have you seen Fight Club, Paul?
No, I haven't. It's already been spoiled for me.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert to those who haven't seen it.
No, don't do it.
I said spoiler alert.
All right, fine.
fast forward 30 seconds.
So somebody can hit the 15 seconds.
Okay, hit it now. So Edward Norton's character is actually the same as Brad Pitt's character. He just everything that happens that you see them both doing, it's just Edward Norton doing it to himself. Would you say that's accurate, hon?
Yes.
Okay.
15-second mark is up, so sweet. Everyone's back now.
Yeah, we're back. No worries to those who fast-forwarded. Oh, and actually, I should have given a big spoiler alert about this movie.
About anything we cover.
Yeah, pretty much, because we're going into the themes of it and what happened during the story. So, but just in case, yes.
I was going to say, I think that he did physically split because he's an alien and he can do that.
Oh, that's an interesting point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
But now it's interesting that he split into Clark Kent and I'll call him bad Superman or evil Superman instead of good Superman and evil Superman. It's almost like Clark Kent is
mild Clark Kent and drunk Superman.
I don't think that Superman could get drunk, P.S.
That's another very legitimate point, I think. It seems like he could metabolize stuff so much faster that he wouldn't get drunk. But he needs some like Kryptonian liquor.
Are we really going to pick apart this movie?
No, we're not. Let's not go that far.
Well, that's the problem because you guys fell in love with it as I guess boys, and I see it now in the 21st century where my favorite movies are not like this at all. It's kind of like going and playing an 8-bit video game versus I don't know, Gears of War 3.
Yeah.
Is that what came out recently?
I guess.
And saying that. Playing an 8-bit video game right now and be loving it so much that it's just like Gears of War 3. And then after you've seen the good ones, you watch this and you're like, how can you not pick it apart in your head? Naturally, yeah. I'm picking apart all these things and how it's not congruent and how I'm like, I don't understand. But I don't think you do as a kid. You just, whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those movies that you have to turn your brain off to enjoy.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah.
That starts within the title sequence.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Okay, let's let's go ahead and transition. Let's wrap up this thought, and then we'll hit the title sequence, because I have something to say about that, too.
Right, so are we doing this, finish up the scene, or are we still going on with what we had previously?
We're just gonna wrap up this whole idea of him fighting with himself. I essentially wanted to say that I thought it was interesting that it was Clark Kent and Dark Superman, because Clark Kent represents Superman's humanity, whereas Superman is, if you take this to a spiritual sense, Superman is his divinity. So it's interesting that his divinity was what was marred, and it is his humanness that shone through. And actually defeated the dark side. So what do you think, guys, think about that?
So it's the work of Satan.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Oh, geez. Now you've just taken it to a completely, a whole new, different kind of level, and do my brain has to shift gears.
Another level.
actually, it's interesting. Kal-El, which is Superman's name, is something like, it means God's vessel or something like that. It's a Jewish name because the writer, the original creators are Jewish, I believe. Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure that's right, though.
Great. So you're telling me that I have to turn off my brain to watch this movie, and when I discuss it, I then have to turn on my brain and theologically try and pick apart the themes of this movie.
Yes. Excellent. I love it.
I'm sorry, but that doesn't really work very well in my head.
Well, you're going to have to ask Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster who created the character.
Thank you. Good job. Paul on the spot with that.
They're dead.
Oh. Okay.
You have to ask our surviving family.
Spoiler alert. Jeez.
They're actually in the process of... they just finished trying to sue Warner Brothers again for... revenue from the money they make from the characters. I think they get like $50,000 a year. The family does.
Mm.
And they went... I think it was... They wanted to get $1 million a year.
Whoa.
And the court shut them down.
And, well, you know what? As much as Superman makes as a property, I think $1 million is not asking that much.
Exactly. Warner Brothers should be like, we're so thankful that you gave us this. We'll gladly give you $1 million a year. I mean, how much do they pay their actors, you know, and all these Warner Brothers?
Yeah, totally. Good point.
Yeah. Millions and millions and millions. Let's just throw one of those to their head icon, which is like the Superman symbol, I know, and the Mickey Mouse head is the most international recognized symbols, those two.
Really? Not like the international symbol for radiation or stop? Or men's room or
women? You just try so hard.
That's what I read on the interwebs.
It makes a tiny tear come to my eye.
No, because actually stop and yield mean different things. They have different symbols in different countries.
Oh, good point. All right. My case has been dismissed by Christy's tears and Paul's logic. Cool. Anyways, let's go ahead and move on to the and listeners, if you have feedback about that whole section of is Superman splitting into two people, is it all going on in his mind, please tell us what you think. Leave us a comment in the post when this goes up, or email us at retrorewindpodcast@gmail.com.
Also, if you'd like to correct Francisco on the Kal-El part.
Oh, yes, please. If I'm wrong about that, please let me know. Because I don't want to go on.
Do you have a Twitter feed that people can...
I do. I don't actually check my Twitter that much anymore. But you can tweet me.
So what's the best way to contact you?
Probably the email, or you can Facebook. If you Facebook friend me and let me know that you found us through Retro Rewind Podcast, that'd be awesome. My Facebook is facebook.com/FranciscoXRuiz, R-U-I-Z. And... yeah, that's it. I was going to say, I don't know what I was going to say. I was going to do all our contact info at the end, but thank you for letting me plug that right there.
That way you can plug it twice.
Exactly. Yep. Let's go ahead and move on to the tile sequence. And I'm going to go ahead and start the ball rolling with this. So in the tile sequence, all this sort of this chain reaction occurs. Of I forget exactly how it starts, but
the pretty the lady with the boobs.
Oh yeah, the pretty lady, and the blonde. She walks, and I think it causes someone to like lose a dog, and then the dog runs away, and this blind person like falls in a pit, but it essentially starts a train reaction. That one of the end points of it is this man runs over a fire hydrant and gets stuck in the car as it's filling up with water. And I have this memory from my childhood of being freaked out by that I was going to get stuck in a car and drown because it's going to filled with water.
That's funny, because I thought I didn't think I was going to get stuck in a car and drown. I thought I would be walking down the street and a robber was going to come out of the bank.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Is that what that was? I just was randomly, like, suddenly there was somebody shooting, and I'm
He's a robber sliding down this well-placed concrete slide.
And the police shooting at him.
Yeah. Yeah, which, nice. Nice job, police. Just shoot wildly.
Hey, they're not wildly, they're aiming.
Yeah, for a car, which then careens into a fire hydrant. Right.
Well, you know, them's the breaks of living in the big city.
But what did you guys think about the tile sequence? How about Christy? What did you think?
I didn't realize Superman was supposed to be funny. Like, I didn't realize that their movies were funny. And I get to this sequence. And yes, I just realized it on the back as I was reading it.
Yeah, it said fun.
Okay, but I've only ever seen the first one. And I only remember specific scenes from the beginning of the first one. So this was a little bit ridiculous. I was thinking to myself, okay, I understand we have to introduce Superman and or Clark Kent and somehow connect all of these things, but what the junk is going on? And why is everyone acting so special?
I would say it's definitely cheesy, some of the things that they do.
Oh, absolutely.
It was funny, but I wasn't expecting it, and I was trying so hard to figure out why it was all happening.
Batman Begins, this is not.
Oh, thank you. I did not think that it was Batman Begins. That was my thoughts on the beginning. I thought it was amusing, but I think I was trying too hard to think about the movie.
Like all this was moving towards something and it was important to keep track of it?
Yes, because I've never seen this and we were doing this podcast about the movie and I don't
and
have...
You didn't even keep track that there was a robber shooting at people.
No, I didn't know who it was. It was a random, suddenly there's a guy running with a bag and gunshots and I'm like, I don't... I was too distracted by the blind man with the paint machine running around in circles thinking it was his dog.
Yeah.
That was amusing.
What did you think about the title sequence, Paul? You brought it up.
Yeah, I actually like the title sequence with the random mishaps that are based upon previous mishaps. It's not something that you see much these days, maybe because it was done so much before.
Yeah.
And yes, even though some of the stuff was cheesy, but it's still fun. I think it's a good way to do a title sequence, which most of the movies these days, I think, come at the end of the movie now instead of the beginning.
There's usually, well, it's just like the credit sequence. And if it's a title sequence, it's typically like you're already in the movie, it's going, and you're just seeing the names come up. Like on the scene, like whatever scene's being played.
I'm sorry, the noob has to ask a question. This was the title sequence, meaning there were things I was supposed to be reading or what?
Yeah, there was.
Oh, yeah. You didn't notice all the Christopher Reeve.
I don't think so.
Robert Richard Vaughn.
Take care of it. Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, but that was a title sequence indeed.
Yes, it's half the screen was covered by text and
blurriness.
I
guess you were so focused on what was happening, you forgot to look at the lower half of what was happening.
Probably. I think I was too. I really think that if I could have watched this video without needing to remember or think of themes or listen to the music or all these things that we're going to be talking about, I could have really just took up my knitting and sat there and enjoyed just the humor cheesiness of the whole thing and not paid attention to it as closely as I was paying attention to it. But I was so busy trying to find like, what's the connection and the importance of this thing that is happening. And I've never seen a title sequence like that. And I'm like, I don't understand.
That's funny.
Well, now you know for next time.
Yes.
So, Christy, let me take it back to you. Is there anything that stood out to you? I know you've only watched it for the first time, but is there anything that either like from the story point of view or a character that really stood out that you'd like to talk about?
I have not seen the entire, I don't know how many seasons there are of Smallville, but I watched a good first three or four. There are 10 of them. But I have only seen the first few because I stopped having access to a TV. Point being, I remember Annette O'Toole, and as soon as she showed up, I was like, oh, yes! And she's gorgeous in this movie. Oh my goodness, she was so pretty. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. That really, I was able to connect instantly to her and to the movie, and I really enjoyed that they did that again in Smallville. I think I had heard that they did that, but I didn't make the connection until I watched this movie, which I really appreciated that. I thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Yeah, what are your thoughts about... I know, it's rewatching it, it's easy to say how they used Annette O'Toole from Smallville in Superman 3, but it was actually the reverse. What did you think of...
No, because I saw Superman 3 many times before seeing Smallville, so... I really appreciate, and going back and watching it again, I really appreciated and watching her performance, and it was just so delightful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I originally thought when they first set her up in the prom, or not the prom, the class reunion dance, where she gave the DJ plates.
That was so cute.
Yeah. Well, I originally thought, though, that they were setting her up to essentially be a Lois Lane clone, because Lois does that ditzy shtick a lot, too. And I'm like, so I wrote down, as Ryan down, taking notes, and I'm like, why are they doing that to her? I didn't remember her being like that. And it turns out, I think it was it was just her being flustered with having to run this class reunion, because as the movie progressed, she wasn't ditzy at all. And it was really endearing, her relationship with Clark. I loved seeing their chemistry. I thought it was so refreshing compared to Clark Kent's relationship with Lois in the first two movies, which
I don't like Lois. I've never liked Lois. Even when Smallville came around and they introduced Lois' character, I was like, oh no, just stick with Lana.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Christy. In your mind, in your imagination, who would be an ideal character for Superman to hook up with?
I've always
liked... You mean Mary Paul, right? Mary?
Well, he was married to Lois Lane, but since they redestroyed the DC universe and rebuilt it, he has a new woman who he's not married to, I will reveal after I hear Christy's answer, because I don't want to take it.
Okay.
No, I've always liked Lana. I didn't necessarily love the person that they got to play Lana in Smallville.
I know, right?
No, I like her, and I like Annette O'Toole better. Does that make sense? Yes, if I compare the two, Annette O'Toole better. I think that she's. I don't know. I guess it's more mature, and I guess Smallville is supposed to be in high school. But
actually, you know what? I bet you it's Annette O'Toole has much more of a country farmer's persona or aura to her than I'm totally blanking on her name, the girl who plays Lana Lang in Smallville.
I've always liked Lana. The Lois characters seem harsh and controlling and trying to run away from their femininity, and I think it's okay to be feminine. If you don't want to go overboard, don't go overboard. But they seem very controlling and very, in that aspect to me, very insecure. And they just want to bowl over Clark Kent all the time. And I think his bumbling idiocy is a little bit much for me sometimes. I'm just like, but I'm, you know, a girl who likes me a man. So I guess that they did that well.
Likes you a man or likes
a man.
Be, okay, it sounded like you said I'm likes a, to be a man.
No, I'm me. Like, I likes me a man.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that, guys. I don't want to be a man.
So you're talking about Kristen Kruick's performance.
Thank you. Yes. Paul again with the save.
Point being, I would prefer Lana, and maybe it's because she's the underdog, or maybe it's because you just watch Clark and them, that undertone, it's not as overt or weird or awkward like Lois and Clark are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It seems more right, like, for me, traditionally, it seems more weighted. Anyway.
I can definitely see that.
Did that answer your question, though, Paul?
What was my question? Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, and by the way, the girl that he's currently hooking up with right now is Wonder Woman.
Oh, gross.
I guess that makes weird sense. But,
In her invisible plane?
Wait, and I thought, we're totally digressing here, but I thought Wonder Woman was an Amazon, and Amazons were like, don't get married. Well, I guess they're not getting married, so.
They're not married.
Yeah.
They're just Amazoning it up in her invisible plane.
Nice one.
I did love the romance in this movie of a new interest, you know, something, someone other than Lois Lane. I thought, you know, with Superman always hooking up with Lois Lane, it was good to see him with a possibility of another. And I thought they did an excellent job, especially compared to movies today.
Mm-hmm.
The romance in that love interest, I thought was really, still stands out for today.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's sweet and not overt, but definitely there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They do. Christopher Reeve and Annette O'Toole did a really awesome job with that.
I don't enjoy that he wore his sweater, though. That was really cheesy. That was cheesy. Yes. That was like, he wore his sweater.
With the S on the back?
With the S on it?
Yeah. Because he is like Superman.
I thought he held it up at one point at the beginning of the movie,
Lois.
Just like as like a little wink to the audience kind of thing. But I didn't realize he wore it later.
Oh yeah.
With Annette O'Toole and her son, they were out shopping or going to have a picnic or something, and he had
the S on.
No, it was on the around his shoulder.
Like, on the back.
Yeah,
oh,
like a cape. Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't actually connect it as the cape or a wink to the audience at all. I was just like, seriously, you're wearing your high school sweater like that, you noob.
Oh really? Oh yeah, no, I totally saw it as him.
He's a dorkly preppy guy, yeah, you know. That's
true. I guess if he's trying to remind Lana about high school and trying to be cute, it's a little, like I said, sometimes for me the older movies with Superman, Clark Kent, it can get a little bit like, wow, really, really, wow. Okay, step it up just a bit there, just a bit.
Yeah, but that's Clark Kent. He's always bumbling. He's always not quite fitting in.
Yes, but you can do that well, and then you can do it so much that you just want to facepalm every time you see him.
But speaking of which, I thought they did an excellent job of the writers of making Clark's awkwardness, besides the sweater, but making his awkwardness really at least believable to me, kind of like saying one thing and then somebody else takes it another way because they're focused on something else. It's just, I thought they did an amazing job. The writers did.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I mean, if we're going to talk about just the cheesy enjoyableness of it, I liked. It was the whole movie to me was incongruent. If I could pick pieces out, I would take like him and Lana and like the whole bad guy, good guy thing. But then there were other parts where you're like, huh? Why are you talking right now? I don't understand.
Now, so that brings up an interesting point, and that actually brings me where I wanted to go next. Just this whole idea of like, why are you doing that? What's going on here?
You have to turn your brain off. I already said.
Oh my gosh. No, this goes more to sort of how the writers and maybe the director too, to a point, laid out the whole movie, the whole structure. So as much as I love Lana, Annette O'Toole's character in this movie and seeing their relationship, I think the whole bit with them going to Smallville is completely unnecessary. I think you could cut that whole part out. No. Listen, hear me out. I think you could cut it all out and have a much tighter movie that was a lot more engaging. And here's how I propose you cut it out. Okay. So
interesting.
Yes. the main crux, so there's a couple cruxes. First, they have to set up the Bertram acid or hold on, I have this. What's the acid called? The Belkin acid?
Beltric
acid? Yeah, the Beltric acid. They have to set that up to destroy the computer at the end, right? So they're
I thought that was great. I loved it as a kid with the freezing the lake, and then I was like, oh, that's brilliant, you know?
Totally.
But if you go back and watch the effects of like the ice melting, it looks like someone did it on Microsoft Paint.
Right, right. We'll talk about the effects in a few minutes. But let me make my point. So they need to set up the acid. They could have done that by just having a chemical plant in Metropolis. It's a metropolis, so to speak. And so I'm sure there's an industrial quarter or industrial part of it where there's a chemical plant. So they could have gone there and had the fire there. Now, another reason to have it in Smallville is because they say they need to send Richard Pryor's character, which, a side note, I didn't find him at all funny. Did you guys, real quick, did you find him funny in this movie?
I was too busy trying to think.
Okay, so
I enjoyed his performance. Do you want to go off on what I thought on that, or
no.
Revisit that?
He's
we'll
too busy reconstructing the movie.
Exactly, I'm restructuring. All right. So they send him to Smallville because they say in order to use the Vulcan satellite, we don't want you to connect back to a Webco or a, what's the guy's name?
Websco.
Wow, thank you for bringing it on top of it, hon. They don't want to come back to Websco if he's caught. So he goes down to Smallville and tricks the guy into drinking too much, and he uses the Vulcan satellite from that computer system. But then later on in the movie, he uses and contacts the Vulcan satellite from a computer in Websco and Metropolis. So they didn't really need to go.
Yeah,
they didn't really need to go to Smallville. Sorry, I'm getting totally animated. Thank you. I cannot think of any other reason other than the relationship with Lana for him to go to Smallville. And
which I think is important enough to do.
But why not just bring her up to Metropolis? Like, he turns around in one corner and sees Lana.
Because the whole idea of it's fun for him to revisit his past, and when revisiting his past, it brings up a whole new possibility of the love interest. It's just that whole, let's take another look at Superman, but from a different point of view.
Okay, hit me.
No, that's what he's telling you. No, I think that you're doing what I was doing. He's doing what I was doing.
That's it. Go for it.
No, you're doing what I was doing, and you're trying to make this movie more smooth and congruent like they make movies now, and it isn't. It's a 1983 movie, and it's going to look different and feel different than movies we watch now. We're so used to everything sliding along, and if it doesn't slide along like we feel it should, I mean, to the point of it's the Leonardo DiCaprio dreams.
Inception.
Yeah, okay. Shush. In the exception to Inception, like an exception to those kinds of movies where you're supposed to feel jerked along, yet at the same time, you don't feel jerked along like you do with the older movies. You can't sit here and say, don't think about the movie. It was just a cheese fest and a fun little fond romp in my childhood memories. And then say, but I'm going to reconstruct it because there's a bunch of plot holes. Well, that doesn't make any sense. You either enjoy it as an old movie you used to watch, or you reconstruct it completely and then blow the whole movie apart because it doesn't fit now in the 21st century.
Okay, I want to say something, but Paul, go. You want to say something.
No, I was about to say, why not both? Why not enjoy it for what it was? And then also, here, if we had to redo it, this is how we could make it better.
And here's the thing.
Like what they do with Star Wars.
Oh, gosh. Let's add Mickey Mouse and make it all better.
You're pulling out all the stops here. Let me respond to you, Christy. And this is kind of tipping my hat. I really wanted to enjoy tipping my hat to later on. I really wanted to enjoy this movie a lot more. So I guess I was going at it from the aspect of what would have made me enjoy this movie more. And that's what got me thinking. I think you're absolutely right that if I just need to accept it as a fun, cheesy romp, then it's going to be what it's going to be. But I wanted to enjoy it more than I did.
Was Smallville in the first two movies?
It
wasn't the first one.
Yeah, because that's his origin story. Well, yes, because
you have to introduce his origin story. But if it's not in the second one, what it makes sense that they're going to reintroduce more of a Smallville part in the third one.
Exactly.
I
like to see that different aspects of somebody's life, so it's not always about Clark Kent in the office in the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. Okay. Well, I think they spent too much time in it. I guess they could have gone back, but I think they spent too much time there.
Speaking of spending too much time.
I see how it is. No, that's totally fine.
Nice.
Let's move on. Paul, I'll let you choose. You want to talk about the effects, or there's something else that you want to
bring? I still have a list of things that I remembered as a kid before watching the movie that stood out.
Okay, hit us up with some of those.
First of all, the whole idea of Superman becoming quote unquote bad with tainted kryptonite. As a kid, that's just a fascinating idea I had. It's like, if Superman was bad, what would he do? Mm-hmm. You know, and to see him going around tilting buildings and things like that, it was just so that idea I remembered.
Why the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Why does that make everybody so mad? Like it's a city sinking into the ground, and Superman goes and corrects it. And the only reason it's bad is because this blue screen vendor shouts something in Italian and breaks his tiny toys. I don't understand. Why not turn it upside down and stick the top of it into the ground? Or
see, here's the thing with that. My theory is the reason why he straightened it, it was because it was when he was transitioning from good to bad, he was trying to break out of the bad and trying to go, I realize I have these bad ideas. I want to go and do something good, so I'm going to go and fix this.
Huh, interesting.
And because it was actually, it's kind of like one of those things, well, yes, it fixes it, but it makes things worse because here we as a people of Earth love the Leaning Tower of Pisa. We held on to that as some sort of monument, and now it's changed. So it's actually bad. It's him trying to do good, but actually being bad.
That's interesting.
And that helps push him further into bad. But that's just the theory.
I didn't really get that because he didn't. He like glowered at them. He didn't even like the good Superman comes back and fixes it and then waves and smiles his big grin. This guy yes. comes in. He's like a 12-year-old boy. Hey, I'm gonna push your tower right and it's gonna make you mad, Vendor.
Oh, and maybe that is. Maybe that's not what I got this time watching, but maybe I don't know.
Yeah. Any other things that you remembered?
Yeah, I remembered Richard Pryor. Growing up in a home that didn't allow any swearing, this was my first introduction to Richard Pryor.
Interesting.
Yeah, I enjoyed his character as a kid. I thought he was a fun character.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wondered why he wasn't in more fun family films, because I think he could have been successful in that. While in college, I discovered him as, you know, in his comedy. So then I was interested to see it from an adult's point of view. Okay, mm-hmm. here's Richard Pryor in a quote-unquote family film. And mm-hmm. what is, and how, you know, how
just what that dynamic is.
Yes, yeah.
Cool. I want to go ahead and, any other ones you wanted to bring up?
Sure, but do you want to discuss Richard Pryor? Oh, you already discussed Richard Pryor.
Yeah. How about you bring up one more, then I'll list a couple. Then let's sort of wrap up our roundtable with talking about the effects of the movie.
I had a couple more, but I'll go with the most obvious is the plot.
Okay.
The plot of stealing a little bit of leftover money, like half cents, and then moving into a bank account has been used many times in other movies, at least since Superman
3. Yeah, I think this is the origin of that, yeah.
Yes, and that's even been referenced in movies like Office Space, you know, yes. where that's all. For some reason, that plot keeps resurfacing in movies. So it's, I don't know if this was the first movie to use it, but it's definitely one that's referred to a lot.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that. I actually enjoyed the technology or the lack of.
Yeah,
it was really enjoyable for me to be like, yes, it all started with ginormous computers.
But that's also one of the things that I found watching it this time around. It was frustrating because here you have Richard Pryor, who seems to be a bumbling person, and all of a sudden he's a computer mastermind. Yeah. He's not really like geeky and should know all these technical terms, but mm-hmm. he's able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have eventually throughout the movie, you realize that the main guy, Max, whatever his name is,
Webco.
He knows how to run computers. And then the two girls, his sister and the other girl, are also technically savvy by the end of the movie. And they're all these super computer people, but they don't all of it's so convenient. It's kind of frustrating. It's like, no, turn your brain off.
Yeah.
These people who know this usually are not out and about trying to take over the world, although they may be. They're under a basement trying to take care of it.
I really wanted to know that. It felt like a dangling plot to me. The chick, the blonde chick, who was at the very end of the movie suddenly reading this really intelligent philosophy book of some sort, and she had glasses on, which, you know, when you wear glasses, it suddenly means that you're really smart. Anyway,
yes.
but I was like, oh, maybe she's undercover. She's undercover as a good person who's trying to suddenly she'll take over the supercomputer or
take down Webco from them.
Something because they introduced her as being super intelligent. They even changed her voice pitch unless she's around the what is her, what do you call that?
Sugar daddy?
Yeah, sugar daddy. And
well, that was funny because as a kid, they said at the introduction where they took all the pictures, and they're like, who is she? And they're like, that's just Webster's. And I always thought that was Webster's cousin.
Oh, interesting.
Because the other girl was his sister who always hung around him. And it wasn't as easy to say as sister. You know, they're not. So I always thought, well, they're still family, but a little more distantly related. Mm-hmm. So I always thought as a kid that was his cousin.
Oh, interesting.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I was just hoping that near the end of the movie, she was suddenly going to take over and help Superman or something. I don't know why you would do that. Why introduce her as being incredibly intelligent? It was mildly amusing that she's pretending to be a bumbling blonde. But why?
Well, maybe if they took out some of that Smallville part, they could have had time.
Oh, you're funny. Paul, what were you saying?
I said to make her character a little more three-dimensional.
How you don't make it three-dimensional if you don't wrap it up in a complete circle. It was like a semicircle character with a giant hole there.
Yeah, well, it wasn't just one dimension. It was more two-dimensional.
Well, if you're going to make a one-dimensional character one-dimensional, then make her one-dimensional. That's how she was introduced in the beginning.
Yeah, and that's her story arc. She had an arc of where she was actually, and by the end, she didn't want to kill Superman, but she did want to take all the oil.
She wanted the money because she was used to that lifestyle. Mm. But
well, not everybody changes.
I just thought it was confusing. It was one of those things that you were like, oh, cool. And you're so used to looking for the undercover things, trying to figure out what's going to happen,
You didn't turn your brain off.
No, I told you in the beginning of this that I didn't know I was supposed to turn my brain off.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap this up with talking about the effects. But the way I'm going to lead into it is with one of the things I remembered from this movie. Apparently, a lot of this movie scared me as a kid because
really,
yeah. I mean, thinking back to it, I really was disturbed by when his sister, Webster's sister, turns into the robot and
comes out with the
glass eyes.
Yeah.
And then the computer taking in Superman and trying to absorb it all Borg style. I was just freaked out by that. I thought that girl was going to come after me and that the computer was going to try to suck me in. And when I watched it when I was younger, I didn't realize that the acid was actually being used to destroy the computer. So I thought this acid was going to ooze in on me too and kill me that way. Apparently I was freaked out. Well, it came out in 83 and I was 2 at the time. I don't think I saw it when I was 2, but I saw it probably fairly early, like maybe 5, and so
at the end you see that she's okay, so she wasn't totally assimilated by the Borg.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just saying, but in that instance that's what sort of impacted on my mind. But where I want to tie that into the effects, though, is like some of the the makeup of her, as well as a lot of the practical effects in this whole movie, I thought were really well done. Like the explosions, Chris even commented on how, wow, these explosions are really good.
Yeah.
So they had that, but then by contrast, they had lots of instances of the blue screen work, like the Tower Pizza, the Tower.
The pizza tower? The
pizza tower in Old Town Italy.
Cowabunga!
The Tower of Pisa. And other places like that where that contrast was really jarring. I felt like it was, they should have either done all one or all the other.
I disagree.
Okay, well, why do you disagree? What did you think about the effects?
I go with the practical because it always looks better, the real fire explosions.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But you can't, I mean, just monetarily wise, you can't fly someone to Pisa to make the shot. You know what I mean?
They did some filming in Italy, though.
Yes, they did.
At the end credits, we watched it through the end. They thanked Italy for filming or something like
allowing that. Allowing them to use the footage, the stock footage.
Oh, I guess that could
be the that's case. True. Good job. Thank you for being smart, Paul.
Good job.
Yeah.
My hat's off to you, sir.
I'm sure the director went, okay, we have to go to Italy to get these shots, and the studio's like, nope. I understand. You do what you can, and I was really impressed at how much they did. I wish more movies today. I think the Superman flying, if I remember correctly, the horrible movie Superman Returns, sorry.
that plane crashing was awesome.
No, but and Superman taking off and landing, they did such a good job, I thought.
Movies. Totally. Absolutely. Even some of the parts where he's actually flying, it looks like they're using wire work to actually film him in front of real backgrounds flying, as opposed to just doing the blue screen compositing of him looking like he's flying.
I didn't see. I only saw a wire once. I wasn't really looking, but I thought that was impressive that in 1983 you didn't actually see that they did a good job of hiding it. I like that he had to run a running start rather than just suddenly like do 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 and now I'm flying.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the occasional swim through the air, like he has his normal out and then he puts his arms back on his hips like he's standing, but he's flying. And then he puts his arms out again. I was like, why are you doing that? Are you swimming through the air? I thought...
What else are we supposed to do?
Well, I know, right? Knit in the middle of flying. No. I'm used to Smallville where Clark runs everywhere really fast. And I'm used to that effect of things moving fast around him. And Superman never ran. And I was like...
No,
and even when he flew, it was really slow. I'm like... Do-do-do-do-do-do. What happened to his super speed? I was expecting him to be there.
Yeah, definitely. Speed is more the name of the game than today. But if you ever notice, like if you're going really fast on the highway, things move slowly. Like the background moves slowly.
Yeah,
that's true. I guess the effect of Smallville then is incorrect, but I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Smallville character is more based on the Flash in that respect.
Yeah, that's true.
I just like that it was the contrast, I guess. Mm-hmm. It gave the sense of urgency to get there. And mm-hmm. when Superman was flying, it felt like, I'll get there when I get there. Like when he was changing from good to bad and he was trying to seduce Lana and then suddenly he was like, oh, wait, I got to go. And then he gets there late. I was like, well, why doesn't he always show up late to everything? Because that's kind of how it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to get there when I get there. I thought, being in 1983, I thought they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally.
But, yeah, today they would do faster moving clouds and stuff.
Yeah.
And the ice sheet, I think, would go down. I thought it was a creative thing for Superman. I thought he was actually going to, like, dig a trench or take a hose and hook it up to the lake. I thought it was like, oh, well, that's cool. You just froze how many tons of water and then carried it over. Although the lake level didn't move, which I noticed. I was being really technical. I was expecting the ice sheet to come down in one big whoosh as soon as it, like a big, I don't know, if you have water in your hands and like you let it go, it doesn't trickle down like rain.
Like when they dump it from Super Scoopers.
Yeah. It's a big, it doesn't suddenly become a rain cloud and shower you with beautiful mist that puts out everything that's hot.
Well, you're usually not dropping it on a chemical fire either, so.
That's true. Does it change the chemical aspect of how
and he
waterfalls?
Dropped it from higher up than you drop it, and it, you know, on the way down.
It creates a cloud and then rains? Suppose.
That is where you have to turn your brain off because there wasn't that much moisture in what he dropped.
Yeah, right.
How is it like this much water falling?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's go back and like get the whole raise the whole lake.
There you go.
Bring it all back.
Is this what you're going to say whenever you do all of the movies? So we just have to turn our brain off. But the whole point of this podcast is to actually pick things apart and give your opinion about it.
I won't say that anymore. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I actually do have one thing to point out about the tiny details. Since the movie lacked a lot of tiny details. Compared to the movies we watch now, because we're so inundated with that, we look for tiny details of things.
Yes.
I noticed that when Superman put on his clean uniform and shaved his 5 o'clock mustache shadow thing, which really, would Superman grow body hair?
Yes. Why not?
I don't know.
It's just how does he shave?
See, is
this hair? Kryptonite blade.
He dies every time
he shaves. I hate shaving. I feel so sick.
But I noticed when he was blowing the oil back into the ship and he was pushing the steel over the hole he created, he was continuing to blow. And I thought that was good. I was like, oh, well done, director. Well done, well done, whoever did that. Because it would make sense that you would, if you stopped blowing, then it would
come out.
Come out. But the whole movie, there were holes like that in the whole entire movie.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been surprising to have him stop blowing and for the oil to just stop coming out.
Maybe I shouldn't applaud Christopher Reeve. go ahead.
You know what effect really amazed me watching this, realizing it's a movie from 1983, is when he was in the bar flicking the peanuts and breaking the bottles, and then he looked and made the mirror bend like that.
Now,
we would be, like, today they do it digitally, you know, move the mirror like that.
Yeah.
But for them to be able to do that and back then, I just thought was incredible.
Yeah, I wonder if they actually used some sort of, like, heat to make that, to actually do that to the glass or what they actually
I don't know, but I thought, wow, well done.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I liked that too.
Yeah. So I said I wanted to end with the effects, but I actually, there's a couple more themes I want us to touch on that I think are important that have to do with the overall sort of what this movie is talking about. One of them is technology, and another is the aspect of Superman being a responsible hero. Go ahead.
I didn't think he was responsible at all.
Okay. Well, oh, good. Then we are in agreement. Let's hit on that one first then. And go
ahead. The fact that at the end of the movie, he says, give this guy a job. He's really good with computers, which was the basis of the whole movie of why everything went wrong. It's totally irresponsible.
You mean totally irresponsible?
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. I thought you said, it's totally responsible. I'm like,
I'm sorry. Irresponsible. Ah, thank you. Maybe he wants another movie.
What did you think, hon? Did you feel Superman was responsible? And do you have an example of how he either was or was not?
Responsible
as like a hero, I guess.
Well, he didn't really like... he tried to make right what he did wrong as the evil Superman.
Just like Sam Beckett.
But...
Quantum Leap, anyone?
anyway. But when he became good Superman, it's not like he apologized to the United States or Metropolis or wherever he lives. The newspapers suddenly label him good again, but how is everyone supposed to know? And did he write that article himself so that everyone knew Superman was good?
Nice.
Yes, I think so. Good job. Well, clear that up for us.
The idea you get is that this evil Superman goes to the poofy blonde lady's house and bang, chicka, wow, wow. .. I'm like, I don't even want to think about that, first of all. Second of all, like, then she's like, Superman, or whatever. And he's like, I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't know you. Bum, bum, bum. Rejection. And she's like, she barely bats an eye. What does that say about her moral character?
Well, actually,
she's obviously with this billionaire guy, and then she's with him, and so she's, you know, irresponsible in that regard.
But why would he not remember, and B, why would he, like, that's not moral.
I mean,
of
and
Superman.
That's one of the things that sort of stuck out to me, and why I, oh, did you have some?
No, go for it. I want to add something after you.
So that's one of the things that really stuck out to me as why Superman wasn't being very responsible was this whole scene where he walks into the cave and the blonde girl's all happy to see him, and he's like, I don't know you. And he's like, but that night we spent, or the girl's like, that night we spent together, something similar. She says something like that. And he's like, that wasn't me. That wasn't me doing that. And I thought that was just completely passing the buck and not accepting the responsibility of, you know what? Yeah, I was evil at the time, and I made this mistake. I should not have been with you and toyed with your emotions that way. Because she looked legitimately upset, even though it didn't last very long. But
you forgot to turn off your brain.
Yeah. Well, but this
I didn't
is,
say that.
This is an effect or the story going on too long. This is our hero, and we want. Sure, our hero fell, but he should redeem what he did, or what he did should be redeemed to the fullest extent. And
in
it
the
wasn't.
1980s?
That's what I want from my movies.
Okay. Francisco, I agree and disagree with you at the same time.
Awesome. Okay? Tell me why.
Because I think, the way I see it, there's either two possibilities. A, he didn't remember, because that other guy was because of the green kryptonite, not the red kryptonite, but it was messed up that made him do weird
the
things.
The tar kryptonite.
Right.
The kryptarnite.
All right, anyway. So either that A, he didn't remember, or B, he did remember and he's cutting off all ties. And I think that this is a good role model because I think he did remember. Otherwise, how many times does Superman go through the city and people yell out, "Hey, Superman," or "Hey, honey," or whatever, and he would not even bat an eye, you know, because I'm sure he gets calls all the time, people yelling, "Hey," to him. But the fact that he stopped and singled her out and addressed her with that comment, I think he was saying it without saying it, you know, verbatim like you said it, but he was getting that same message across. Look, that wasn't me. Basically, I'm not that guy anymore. So that's not going to happen again. So I think he did stand up and he was. And when you're going to correct something, one of the best things to do in that situation is to cut off all ties. Sure, not try to soothe things over because that could lead into further temptation later. So it's easier just to cut it and move on. And I think he did a good job of demonstrating that.
I agree with you that he should cut off and move on. I just feel like he didn't accept responsibility for what he did. He didn't. It's like he was almost trying to shove it brushing under the rug.
Yes, and I agree with that.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, that wasn't me. That was someone else.
No, he said that. He wasn't all trying to. He was like, "Look, that's not me anymore."
Yeah. Or,
that wasn't me.
A computer is currently like, killing me. I can't talk about this right now.
It wasn't like, "I don't know what you're talking about." You know?
I think that I had something to say and now I forgot completely.
Was it about his responsibility?
No. It's okay.
Well, if you remember, then we can go back to it. But last thing I want to touch on is this whole aspect of...
I remember.
Oh, go for it.
Paul, you were talking about how he flies all over the city and people call out to him and he doesn't really listen. And earlier in the podcast, we were likening him to a godlike character.
He's the Messiah character.
Totally blows it out of the water. Are we then connecting him as a Messiah character? We're connecting him to not being connected to the people he's around. He only listens and he only calls or helps the most needed. That's not Messiah-like at all. I completely disagree with him being a Messiah character, at least in the 1980s. Maybe the movies they make now make him out to be more of a Messiah character or more of a fallen character. I don't know, but I would not connect him as a Messiah character, only a superhero. And even superheroes to me aren't necessarily Messiahs. But that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I want to hear that one.
We'll record that later and send it to you.
All right.
But thank you for sharing that. Okay, last thing I wanted us to touch on was this whole aspect, and Chrissy brought it up briefly before, but just technology in general and how it was back then compared to how it is now. So back then, back then, listeners, Paul just like rubbed his hands together like, yes, I've been wanting to talk about this all night.
Breaking the fourth wall.
Let's not get into this podcaster stuff.
Wasn't the fifth wall.
Get there.
Back in the 1980s. It seemed like technology was this very weird foreign thing. You type things in and then touch the screen with this pen thing. There weren't mice, apparently.
That was cool.
And everything was in this. You were at one console that spoke to a data center in like this big room somewhere. And it's just interesting how people thought of technology as both could do anything. And also, That's okay.
I broke again, guys.
Just that technology could do anything, no matter what. And even this big computer that they built that could protect itself from anything.
Yes.
Yet now, so that is in I don't know if contrast is the right word, but it's almost we've gotten to that point where that's a reality. It's not so much.
Well, are we in the Matrix where robots rule the earth?
No.
The robots look like Jetson characters.
Oh, my gosh. Just that we are so interconnected, and technology is in so many things.
Yes.
But what do you guys think about that? Do you think they did it an accurate portrayal of technology back then? Is there any sort of glimmers of, is it at all like it is now? What do you guys think?
I think that they were afraid of technology, so that they put it in the movie. I mean, they were. I think that ultimately that's what they were afraid of, or could this is what could happen, like in Back to the Future movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is what will happen. This is just like, I don't know. What if the computers are going to do? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're just exploring the what ifs of technology, mm-hmm. because it was just coming out and being.
And I somewhat agree, but somewhat disagree. I don't think they were really afraid of it, but I think the villain was dead on when he said that the computers are the future, and whoever controls them controls the world. Mm. I don't know if it was. I think they played on that as a fear, just like all these other, you know, robots take over the world kind of movies.
Yeah,
iRobot and all that. But it's definitely over the top where the, you know, let's build a computer that can do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was interesting. I think the moral of Superman 3 is that stop reading.
I was
reading,
about to say there's a moral.
Stop reading my show notes before I say them.
Facepalm.
I think the moral of Superman 3 is that if Skynet becomes self-aware, all we need is a canister of Beltric acid to take it out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cricket.
And now, which reminds me, and this reminded me of the really, I think it was really well done. If you haven't seen War Games with Matthew Broderick.
Oh, yes. That's a fun movie.
Talk about a movie ahead of its time. It was talking about modems and everything like 15 years before it. Modems came to the household.
It's quite the whopper of a movie.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the best lines, well, I don't know. Never mind. I forgot where I was going with it, but this movie reminded me of that, mm-hmm. where technology takes over. We have to be careful with our technology,
mm-hmm.
I think, is the moral of the story.
Yeah, I think we need to remember that because nobody thinks about it anymore.
No, it's just so ubiquitous in life now.
I'm sorry, you what?
Ubiquitous? Like,
wow. Get into name calling.
He got word of the day toilet paper.
Oh, my God.
You're not supposed to read it before you use it.
What, I'm going to read it after I use it?
Oh, gosh. And then it's like rub off ink, and then you have word of the day.
Okay, I think that about does it for our round.
Can you read my word of the day?
Well, it's like, you know, you have to check to see if you're done wiping.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yes,
all
I
right,
love
everyone.
It.
Let's finish this out. Paul, so moment of truth. Would you suggest someone rewatching this movie again today if they saw it way back when? Really, is this movie a classic or is it just something you can forget about? It's not worth watching again.
In my opinion, it's a classic because, granted, you have to keep in mind that this is an 80s movie, an early 80s movie. If you watch it with that mind frame, then I think it is enjoyable.
All right. Christy, is this a classic or just second class?
If you can do something else while you're watching it, like I knit when I watch movies that I don't want to invest my heart and soul in. And that's how I turn my brain off. If you could do that, I would say it's a classic. You know, besides paying attention to it because of this podcast, I think it's classic, like the Back to the Futures and the Indiana Jones. And I watch Back to the Future and Indiana Jones. What? I watched Back to the Future and Indiana Jones when I was younger, so when I watch them now, I don't groan as much, but I've never seen the Supermans. So when I watch them now, I groan more. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I guess here's where it comes down to me, guys. I think of a movie like Back to the Future as a classic. I do not think this is Back to the Future level. All right.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he was saying. Yeah. Just now.
Why?
It's not enjoyable. It's there are enjoyable parts, but on the whole, it's not enjoyable. On the whole, the effects aren't consistent. And
it's 1983. How can you say anything is consistent in 1983?
Back to the Future was very consistent.
That was 2 years later, though.
Yes. That made a big difference.
Well, no.
I don't need you to get offended because I was trying to make a point.
I'm not offended at all. I'm
well, you're getting a little bit like butt clenchy over there.
I'm impassioned.
Whoa, what?
You heard me, Paul. You heard me. You know when you get really intense and the words of the day get all screwed. This podcast is rated PG. Sometimes we talk about poop. Anyway, I don't mean to compare them. That's another podcast to talk about comparing old classics. But when you have a 16-year-old and you sit them down to watch a, quote, classic movies, the set of Indiana Jones movies, the set of the old Star Wars, the all of those sets, like Superman, the Back to the Future, if you set a 16-year-old down today and you said, watch these, they're classics, you're going to love them, and you've rated them like best, better, best, greatest of all time, they're going to say, these are cheesy. The technology, whatever, the special effects, because they're all old movies. That's what I was trying to say. They're all old. So because I've seen the other ones I named besides Superman when I was younger and when they were newer, I have a special appreciation for them.
See, yeah, you don't sit down and tell them that you're going to sit there and you're going to like it. Oh, you're going to sit there and remember it's old.
Yeah, it's an old classic. I'm your parent. I'm going to make you watch it because I loved it and you hope that they enjoy it. Now, if you want to talk about a movie that runs the gamut of ages, I would say Princess Bride.
Okay, so why not compare it to Princess Bride then?
Because you can't compare that movie to Princess Bride is an old movie, but when you look at Princess Bride, it's not like, seriously? What just happened right now with the Leaning Tower of Pisa? I don't understand.
I don't know. If you show it to a teenager, maybe
Giorgio,
it would be like that.
Superman.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well.
He flips Superman off in
I know,
Italian.
I didn't notice that.
What is that?
Wait, that's Italian to stick your thumb in your mouth?
Yeah,
and
that's the same
it out.
Thing.
It's the same thing
it's
as
the
giving
same
him the middle
yes.
finger?
I think this or like whatever he used his thumb or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what it means. You'd have to look it up, but it's very similar to that.
Oh, I thought he was saying good job, thumbs up.
No, haven't you read Shakespeare? Romeo and Juliet? I bite my thumb at you.
While.
I bite my thumb at you, sir. Do you bite your thumb at me? Yeah, it's from, it's but never mind.
Yeah, Romeo
educated
and Juliet
people.
Definitely not a classic. No, just kidding.
Shakespeare is now rolling over in his grave, reaching his zombie hand out and coming to strike you dead.
Okay,
if that's really Shakespeare.
Oh gosh!
All right, I think we're gonna need to work on what we classify. Actually, no, this
isn't. No, this is my
opinions.
Opinion.
Yeah, these are your opinions. I can have my own opinions. I just haven't vocalized them.
I was just trying to say that if I had seen this movie when I was younger, I think that I would be like, classic, watch it again. It's a great romp. But I can't say that. So, nice. I can't say that and really believably right now. I'll be like, it is what it is. It's Superman. If you want a classic Superman movie, you should watch it. But don't get too invested in it because there's a bunch of crappy plot holes. The blue screens are dumb. Like, but that's me. I'm really, I don't know.
Okay, so
I'm not a boy.
From what I'm hearing is,
no offense.
It's not worth watching again. It's not worth watching in comparison to...
I would
to,
put it on if I had nothing else to watch and I wanted background noise. I would put it on and I would knit.
So you're saying it's second class. Got it.
I don't appreciate that.
No, I... Why? Hun, I think that's what you're saying.
I don't think that's what I'm saying.
All right, I shouldn't put words in your mouth.
She's saying it's a classic.
All right. You say it's
with
a classic.
With a caveat.
Paul says it's a classic. I would say it's second class. It does not live up to what... It doesn't live up to movies like Back to the Future or going even older, movies like Casablanca. Did you say dumb movie?
I said terrible movie.
Francisco's so in love with that movie.
I'm so glad we have differing opinions because that makes this so much more interesting.
I don't understand why you like that movie.
Oh,
what oh about my gosh. The one with the world is coming down.
What about the one with Christopher Reeve and Dr. Quinn?
Somewhere in Time's awesome.
No way! That's so cheesy, dumb. Here, look at a penny. Ruined the whole movie.
Spoiler alert.
I think that you watch those movies when you're right in the middle of unrequited love season or something because you're like, I need some love. They'll never be together. It's so sad.
In Casablanca, they don't end up together.
That's why I said they'll never be together. Movie.
Well, there's more reasons why it's dumb.
Unrequited love. Okay, yeah, now I get it.
Play it again, Sam.
That's actually a misquote.
I know it is. He's having a breakdown, folks. Pause your players for a moment of crack up.
Don't pause, because then you'll have to come back and wait longer.
Mute your players.
Forward. There you go, mute.
Now you can unmute them. Wait, you can't hear me. Unmute!
All right, let's go ahead. Thank you for giving us your opinions, guys. I really appreciate that. I'm glad we didn't all agree. I think that's a good thing. We all are different people and all have different opinions. But let's move on to closing out the show.
Thank you, Peacekeeper.
Let's move on to closing out the show as I mute Christina.
ComSat Online. Receiving incoming transmission.
That sounded like from the 80s.
Yes.
It's the Retro Rewind podcast. Of course it's going to sound that way.
All right.
So, Christine, my love, my dear, what would you like to promote today?
I don't. You told me all the stuff I needed to do for this podcast, but you didn't tell me I needed to have something to promote. I already told them about.
If someone wanted to contact you, how do they contact you?
Yeah. Just leave it at that. How would you like to be contacted?
I will create a page for podcasts if that's how many friends
I'm probably going to be planning on creating a Facebook page for us.
Beautybroadcast.net. That was the videos.
Oh, and then they can find us through there.
Mm-hmm.
Not through what I just said, no.
No, through the one I set up. Well, thank you, hon.
That was incongruent.
Paul.
Yeah, so you can edit that out.
Paul, anything you'd like to plug?
Dirt.
And where can people find you online?
You can best... I really like stalkers, people who look through my windows. Contact me.
Hello.
So your address would be...
I guess go to the. I really like Facebook. Twitter is. I have a Twitter account at Paul J Powers, but it's really. You really can't hold a conversation on there as well as you can on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, its best way is to friend the podcast on Facebook and find me as a friend there.
Awesome. And I would like to plug another podcast that I do called the Dad's Voice Podcast, where I interview other dads, try to get some wisdom from their fatherhood journey experience. That's a little redundant. And just trying to grow myself as a dad, because Christine and I are actually relatively new parents. Our daughter's 8 months old. And so
almost
8 months old. And that's one way I like to grow myself as a dad. And
he also interviews me.
And I've interviewed Christy also, yes.
I'm not a dad.
Was she a dad too?
I'm not a dad.
No. I was a dad though. Well,
you were?
Yeah,
You were a dad?
I am a dad.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So you were a dad and now you are a dad, but there was a time in between where you weren't a dad.
This podcast suddenly became very sad. I was a dad.
Anyways, you can find me at facebook.com/FranciscoXRuiz. And I'll let you figure out how to spell that.
Nice.
Paul.
Next time we'll be rewinding to 1991 with the Disney movie The Rocketeer.
Sweet.
Email us your memories of The Rocketeer and how you would rate it.
And with that, I'd like to thank our guest host, Christy. Thank you so much for coming on the show and adding your voice, especially as someone who hadn't seen Superman 3 before.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Christy, I would recommend Superman 2, which is probably my personal favorite of the Superman series.
Thank you. I would like to see that. I would like to see more. Now I know I just need to turn off my brain by recommendation of Paul.
Yes.
That I will enjoy it and knit.
There you go.
There you go. Paul, thank you so much for being on the show. Being my partner in crime.
Uh-huh. My pleasure.
And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to our inaugural episode of the Retro Rewind podcast. Just thank you so much. Please send us your feedback. Let us know what you think. And we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Oh, yeah. Bye.
Retro Rewind mission complete. Proceed to Nath Point Omega and return to base.